Good morning, everyone. Good to see everyone this morning. First, I'd like to start off, if there's anything unscriptural that you catch during my lesson this morning, I'd be more than happy to accept any correction or afterwards, please. Now, I'm sure many of you remember 9/11. It was a terrible day. And we know stock markets, they suffered a huge crash. And I'd like to read you this morning a snippet I got off the internet regarding that. On the first day of NYSE trading after 9/11, the market fell 684 points, a 7.1% decline, setting a record for the biggest loss in exchange history for one trading day. At the close of trading that Friday, ending a week that saw the biggest losses in NYSE history, the Dow Jones was down almost 1,370 points, representing a loss of over 14%. The S&P index lost 11.6%. An estimated $1.4 trillion in value was lost in those 5 days of trading. Incredible. $1.4 trillion. But that's the thing about investments in this world. They come and go. They fall. They're fine one moment, and the calamity strikes, and they're down. Well, this morning I'd like to ask you, where do you have your investments? In heaven or the world? Are we invested in material things, or do we invest in eternal things? And I'd like to read to you this morning. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Matthew 16, verses 24 through 28. Matthew 16, verses 24 through 28. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." And now I'd also like to read to you the story about, I'm sure we all know well, the rich young ruler who came to Jesus. In Matthew 19, 16 through 22. Matthew 19, 16 through 22. "Now behold, one came and said to him, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?' So he said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments.' He said to him, 'Which ones?' Jesus said, 'You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' The young man said to him, 'All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?' Jesus said to him, 'If you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me.' But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." What about us? Are we so wrapped up in our material investments and things that we forget to invest in the heavenly kingdom, to spend time with God, to seek Him? And if we have invested in the heavenly kingdom, what kind of investor are we? Are we active? Do we do something about it? If you think about it, when we invest something in this world, whether it's stocks or whatever it may be, any kind of business venture, we tend to, if we want it to succeed, We tend to check up on it, huh? We're very proactive. We check the stocks, see if they're growing. We see if our business is doing good. Make sure it's producing, right? What about our heavenly investment? What are we doing about that? And I'd like to read to you from John 1, 40 through 41. That is John 1, 40 through 41. "One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah.'" Now, I'd like to pause there. if we've invested in the heavenly kingdom, what are we doing? Are we going and telling our loved ones? Are we doing something about it? Are we telling other people about this great, wonderful thing? Come, invest, see this. And I'd like to read to you from Acts 17:10-11. Acts 17:10-11. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. They were active. Andrew was active. Andrew was active in his heavenly investment. He saw that Christ was something to have. So this is a good thing. And so he went and got his brother. Do you go and get your brother, your sister, your father, your mother, a loved one, a dear friend? The Bereans, they searched the scriptures daily. They sought to know their Lord. That's what the scriptures are for us. They're God's word. Do we search them daily, seeking to know our Lord and Master? If we've accepted Christ as our Savior, we've made a heavenly investment. What are we doing with our investment? Are we seeking to know God more? Are we searching the scriptures? Or are we placid? Do we just stand by and, okay, I made a small investment. That's it. I'm going to sit down and just hope it does something. Now I'd like to read to you from James 4:17. James 4:17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. We know what is good. We've been told what is good. If we read Matthew 28:18-20, we know what is good. Now I'd like to read to you Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. We know what is good. Are we doing it? Are we teaching others Christ? Are we living in a Christ-like manner? Are we showing ourselves as investors in this heavenly kingdom? Or did we just put a little something in there, invest a little something, and that's it? We stand by. We know what's good. Will we do it? Now, how invested are you? When we read the Bible, we read about how invested we should be. But as individuals, how invested are we really? Now, I'd like to read to you from Matthew 22:37. Matthew 22:37. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." That covers everything. Full investment in God, in the heavenly kingdom, full investment in Christ. Are you that invested? Joshua was. I'd like to read to you Joshua 24:15. Joshua 24:15. "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Do we make that declaration in our lives every day? Me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Are we that fully invested? Or do we allow things in this world to take away from God and what we would dedicate to His heavenly kingdom? Now, I'd like to ask you, would you forsake all for Christ? All for Christ. All worldly wealth, material, for Him? The apostles did. And I'd like to read to you Luke 5:9-11. Luke 5:9-11. "For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men.' So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him." Think about that. They just had a huge catch of fish. At their time, that's of substantial monetary value if they were to sell that. and they forsook it all and followed him. What do we have to forsake to follow Christ? I mean, really? Is it worth holding on to give up Christ? Is any material thing in this world worth having or holding on to? We know it will fade away, it can be stolen, it can rot away, it can be destroyed. But Christ is everlasting. His heavenly kingdom is worth investing yourself in. Now, are you so invested to obey Christ that you die for him? Think about that. Are you so invested, so giving yourself over to Christ that you would die for him, give your life for him? Stephen was. I'd like to read to you from Acts 6, 7 through 8. Acts 6, 7 through 8. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Now moving down to Acts 7, 59 through 60. Acts 7, 59 through 60. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Stephen was doing what he was commanded. He was being obedient to Christ. He was fully invested. And he died for it. Do we face this kind of persecution in our daily lives? I don't think so. I know I don't. Are we that fully invested that where if a situation came up, such as this of Stephen's, that we would give our life for Christ? And I'd like to ask you, why are you invested? For selfish gain, as Simon the sorcerer? And I'd like to read to you from Acts 8, 9 through 11. Acts 8, 9 through 11. But there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. And I'd like to pause there. The scriptures tell us, well, they don't tell us, that he disputed any of these people's claims that he had the great power of God. He knew he didn't. It was all just smoke and mirrors. He knew he didn't have it, but yet he didn't dispute it because he liked the attention. Now, moving down to Acts 13 through 21. Acts 8, 13 through 21. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They then laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And then Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given. He offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. He knew he didn't have the great power of God, as people claimed, and he never disputed. And now he sees the apostles, they had the true gift given to them by God, and he wanted it. But he wanted it for selfish gain. He tried to purchase it with money. If he was truly invested in his heart, he wouldn't have asked to purchase it with money. And that tells you where his mind's at on material things. He's thinking of the here and now. If he can truly have this power, then he really will. It will be a true claim that he has a great power of God. It won't be any longer an illusion that he's working smoke and mirrors like we see magicians today and awing people. It would have been real. But it was for selfish gains. He wanted to be invested for the wrong reason. Now I'd like to look at Ananias and Sapphira. A story I'm sure we all know well. They had, and if you think about it for a minute, kind of being a pessimist here. They were being good earthly investors, weren't they? I mean, but they were poor heavenly investors. So now I'd like to read to you Acts 5, 1 through 10. Acts 5, 1 through 10. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you received this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young man arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, carrying her out, buried her by her husband. Are we invested for our own selfish gain? Do we want to just do what they did? And if you think about it, was it really a big deal? It was their land. They kept some of it. But it was dishonest. It was for dishonest gain. They were trying to invest this money in and brought it to the apostles for selfish gain. They wanted it to appear as if they gave everything, as if they were fully invested, when in fact they weren't. Do we do the same thing in our lives? Do we wish to appear as fully invested, but in our hearts we're not? And we may be able to deceive men, but this story tells us we cannot deceive God, because we're not deceiving men. We're attempting to deceive God. God, He cannot be deceived. How foolish are we if we try? Now, are we invested for our own selfish gain, or because God so loved us? Because He so loved you. Each of us as individuals. And think about that for a minute. All the people of this world, God so loved us, and He loved each of us to such an extent that He gave His Son. I can't even begin to grasp that. It's just such an amazing concept. And we read about that in John 3:16. John 3:16, a passage we all know well. But do we ever really stop and really read it and try to wrap our minds around this impossible concept? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, what are you doing with your investments? Are we being productive with them, or what are we doing? Now, I'd like to read you the story of the servants with the minus. This I've always loved this story. Luke 19:12-23. Luke 19:12-23. Therefore he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. Now I'd like to stop there a second, pause. Do business till I come. There's an explicit command. Do business till I come. And continuing on. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant. Because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, master, here is your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief. For I feared you, because you are an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit, and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? We've accepted the gospel. What are we doing with it? Are we keeping it in a little handkerchief, just kind of tucked away? Or are we being productive with it? We've received a command, just as these servants did. Do business till I come. Are we doing Christ's business till He comes? Are we being faithful investors in Him? Now I'd like to read to you from 1 Thessalonians 5:14. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. Are we doing that? Are we showing ourselves as investors, doing the business of whom we've invested in? Now I'd like to read to you the story of the unforgiving servants, found in Matthew 18:21-33. Matthew 18:21-33. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So then his fellow servants saw what he had done. They were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? Christ died for us. When we accept Him as our Lord and Savior, we are forgiven of all that we've done. We've, like this servant who owed 10,000 talents, a huge sum. We've been forgiven our huge sum and our debt of sin. Now, do we forgive those who wrong us but a little bit? Do we forgive as we've been forgiven? Or are we like the unfaithful servant and hold it against our brethren? How invested are we? Are we so invested that we acknowledge how much we've been forgiven and we seek to forgive as we've been forgiven, that we seek to invest as much as we've been invested in? Think about that unbridled, immeasurable mercy of God, of Christ, the fact that He gave His life for us. He invested all that in us, knowing the sinful creatures we are, but out of love, He made that investment. Are we invested in Christ that we show ourselves, prove that we show ourselves as Christ-like? I'd like to ask you this morning, where are you invested? In heaven or this world? Will you invest in heaven? And if you've invested in heaven, will you continue to invest and be an active investor? And I'd like to read to you from Matthew 6:33. Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, backing up a little bit, Matthew 6:21. Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I implore you, brethren, invest in the right thing. Invest in what will last forever. Don't invest in this world that is, it's nothing. Look at our stock market. You make an investment in it, you're gambling. It could crash. Something can happen. But invest in the heavenly kingdom where we know if we make an investment, it will come to fruition and something good will come of it. A great, glorious thing. Now I'd like to read to you from 1 Corinthians 15:58. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I ask you, don't make unsound eternal investments. Because unlike unsound material investments in this world, we don't get a second chance. You make an unsuccessful business venture, you can always recoup and try again. But when it comes to the investment of our souls, that's it. We don't get a second chance. I'd like to read to you from 1 John 2:15 through 17. 1 John 2:15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. This world is passing away. But the eternal kingdom of God will last forever. Have you invested in it? And if you have, how full of an investment have you made? Have you committed yourself fully and entirely? Or just partially to say you have, and then to become placid? Do we just stand by? Now, if there's anyone here who hasn't accepted the gospel of Christ, that I'd ask you to invest in heaven this morning. Now, how do we invest in heaven? Well, in Romans 10:17, we read, and it states, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And in John 8:24, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And in Acts 2:38, then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And in Matthew 10:32, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. And finally, Galatians 3:26-27. For you are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting, confessing, being baptized. That is how we invest in heaven and become invested. I ask if there's anyone here who hasn't invested this morning in the heavenly kingdom, as we close with a song, to come forward, or if there's any of you who have invested but have failed as investors, to still come forward and let us, that we may pray for you. That's why we're here, to grow and help each other. We're all invested in this together. If there's any one of us who isn't as invested as we should be willing to help each other invest fully and pray together and be together as brethren.